Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, cool. He's got Drew. 35-30.
Want to get your punch?
Touchdown, Zion!
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. John Schmelk, Lance Meadow with you. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Good afternoon, everybody. Johnny Schmelk, Lance Meadow with you. As we go forward here, talk some New York Giants football. And we actually have some news for the first time in about a month since the Giants hired Steve Spagnuolo. There have been some minor moves, but finally a couple of what I would consider pretty big moves for the Giants. Lance coming down late yesterday afternoon and then this morning. Move number one, and we'll touch on this one first, Matthias Kiwanuka, the longest tenured Giant besides Giants quarterback Eli Manning, is no longer a member of the team. A salary cap related move, a veteran that was here for a long time, did yeoman's work, was a classy guy, was a good player, but the Giants decided it was time to move on from Kiwi.
Helped the team win two Super Bowls, so certainly that was key for him as well. Had huge contributions for the squad, and he's the last tie-in to Steve Spagnuolo, John. So now there are no defensive players on this team from his first stint as defensive coordinator. So it really is essentially the end of an era, because Matthias Kiwanuka was the bridge between Spags from the first time to Spags from the second time.
And I saw Mike Garofolo tweet this yesterday. Apparently, now there are only six players remaining from the Giants' 2011 championship team. And off the top of my head, I guess it would be Eli, Cruz. Boy, nobody left on the offensive line. All those guys have recycled in and out.
Changed over. The running backs are all new now.
In the secondary, Antoine Roll's no longer with the team technically. I'm not sure if he was on the list that he counted. Diasi obviously is one of them. Weatherford. So that's four.
Teams. He may have included Antoine Roll.
Maybe he did.
Technically, the calendar year doesn't start till March 10th. So that's when everybody officially becomes a free agent.
That's a good point. So Rolls and Prince, right? Prince was on the 2011 team.
Correct.
So there you go. There's your six. So obviously, you know, the Giants, there's turnover, and there's always turnover. And a couple of things I want to say about Kiwi. He never put up those wow numbers. And I think the reason for that, and I was actually talking to David Deal about this morning, and he hosts the Sirius show with Bob Papa from here with Bob every Wednesday. So I took him aside. I'm like, Dave, you know, Kiwi, what'd you think of him? He goes, look. Ultimate team player. He was a defensive end by trade and, quite frankly, a better defensive end than he was a linebacker. But the team needed him to play linebacker, so he did it. And, quite frankly, that might have even retarded his progress a little bit as a defensive end. By not playing the position he always played early in his career, that might have hurt him down the road, where he wasn't as good of a player, Lance, as he could have been. But he did it because they asked him to, they needed him to, and he gave the Giants some very, very good years.
Well, he became a versatile player because of what you said. They needed him to move around from defensive end to linebacker. If he stays with his hand in the ground during the tenure of his career, perhaps his numbers are a little bit better. But given what happened with the injury bug and everything else, obviously they needed to move him around. The other thing to note with respect to Matthias Kiwanuka, a guy that had to battle through his fair share of injuries. Remember, he had the neck injury that he dealt with.
Almost ended his career.
Absolutely. And then the knee injury this season, it halted the season at 11 games for him, and then he was put on IR, along with Peyton Hillis, who had suffered a concussion. So the two players who they actually let go of both battled injuries in their last campaign with the Giants and finished up the year on IR. But two veteran players, Peyton Hillis, before he came to the Giants, had been in a variety of spots, most notably Kansas City and Cleveland. And he was somebody who helped fill in the gap, fill in the void when David Wilson, if you recall, suffered that season-ending injury in 2013. And they had a number of different running backs in the mix in 2013. And he provided some veteran presence. But the injury bug, unfortunately, caught up with him.
Yeah, and it did. And, you know, when you get on the other side of 30, your production tends to drop. And you know how these contracts work in the NFL. When you get to the end of some of these deals, money gets backed up. Last year, he was already willing to take a pay cut to stay with the organization with 1 year left. It's hard to, you know, make those adjustments in that type of situation. So the Giants decided it was time to move on. And they have a very talented crop of pass rushers still on this roster if Jason Pierre-Paul is, in fact, retained. You have Robert Ayers, who was very good before he went out for the year with that torn bicep last year. Demontre Moore, someone with a lot of potential. You like to see it finally come to the forefront this season. And then you have Kerry Wynn, who came on end of last year. So the Giants still have a pretty nice crop of pass rushers that are going to get a lot of snaps this season.
And that's what they tend to do over the course of the last few years. When they know guys are getting up there in age, they always bring in the next crop of players to get ready to assume those roles. Devon Kennard would be another player I'd thrown into the mix, John, because we don't know necessarily how Spags is going to utilize him in this new defense, considering the fact that he's lined up as a defensive end. He's been used as a linebacker dating back to his collegiate career at USC. The one other thing that I wanted to throw out, John, with respect to Mathias Kiwanuka, and it got me thinking, because you start to reflect when a player like that's been around this organization for quite some time, the NASCAR package that Perry Fuel implemented. You know, you think about all those defensive ends that were thrown on the line of scrimmage, and now 3/4 of the NASCAR package is gone. JPP is the only guy left, but Tuck, OC, Kiwanuka, JPP, we saw all
and even Strahan, if you want to go back that far.
In the mix. So yeah. It's amazing how so much time has transpired since that group really wreaked havoc across the NFL landscape.
And don't forget Dave Tollefson.
Absolutely. Tollefson. And in all seriousness, Tollefson was a
key mix 100% serious
to that line as well before he went to Oakland. Yeah.
So, you know, you're right. And, you know, OC's a free agent. I've actually heard some Giant fans on Twitter lobbying the Giants to bring him back. And, you know, if you want to bring him back in a third down role, I see it. But here's my issue, guys. And I even think about this, too, when you talk about drafting a pass rusher in the top 10 in the draft very quickly before we get on to Peyton Hillis. How many pass rushers can you use? I mean, right now, you know JPP is going to play a lot of snaps, right? You figure Robert Ayers is going to play a fair amount of snaps. You want to see Demontre Moore on the field. Kerry Wynn showed promise last year. Well, what happens if you draft a defensive end now in the top 10? Who's losing snaps? How many snaps is that rookie defensive end going to get? I think that's an interesting dynamic when you decide what to do with 9. And I don't have a problem with drafting a defensive end. I think there's a decent chance they will draft a defensive end, because just simply because that's where a lot of the talent in this draft is, Lance. So many guys tested well at the combine and put so much good stuff on tape during the season. Or I wonder how they're going to work that in terms of balancing snaps between all these players.
Well, unless you target a player like Devon Kennard, sort of a tweener, a guy that you can move around from that linebacker spot to the line.
Well, I'm assuming he's just going to be a linebacker. If you're drafting a defensive end, you can't put Kennard at end.
Plus, you need him in terms of snap distribution,
absolutely,
as you just alluded to. I mean, they just lost Kiwanuka, who played linebacker last season. So if you play the numbers game, you want Kennard to be at one specific position. But if you're talking about how the snaps are going to break up, you know, perhaps you target a player who has some more versatility. Using OC as an example, last year when he was with the Atlanta Falcons, you know, he was utilized as a third down specialist. And he's been in the news the last few days because he's come out and he says he doesn't want to retire. He wants to continue to play, even though he just finished up his 11th season in the league. You know, if he was to reunite with the Giants, and once again, purely speculation, there's no hardcore facts with respect to that story, I think it would depend on what type of a role he would want to assume. OC's been tied to the Giants throughout the entirety of his career. I'm sure if he had his choice, he'd love to retire with this team.
And I'm not sure he's an every-down player anymore. I don't think he thinks he's an every-down player anymore. So that'll be something interesting to keep an eye on. By the way, we'll be joined by Kevin Ogletree in just a couple of minutes. Recently re-signed with the Giants. You can talk about him and the wide receiver core when he joins us on the phone in just a couple of minutes. But first, Peyton Hillis was let go by the Giants this morning. I think I can hear Mike Farmer's sobs. All the way from.
I'm surprised we didn't get a tweet yet.
I think he's in mourning, so
yeah.
I'm not sure what he's doing. Yeah. But you know, Peyton Hillis was the guy we talked about. Had a couple concussion issues the last couple of years. Just couldn't stay healthy. Couldn't stay on the field enough. And I think the Giants have Andre Williams to play that type of Peyton Hillis role now. And they have Rashad Jennings, who does a little bit of everything very well. So I don't think there's much of a need for him anymore, and the Giants decide to move on, and it does save some amount of salary cap space. He's a veteran player, a salary a little bit higher than a younger player would be in that same slot.
Well, and John, we've seen this trend with respect to the Giants. The last few off seasons, they've parted ways with veterans, and that's just the nature of the salary cap. You want to keep everybody, especially guys who have sacrificed their bodies and have meant so much to this organization, but at the end of the day, it's a numbers game. Ahmad Bradshaw, Chris Canty, you know, those are some of the notable veterans who were let go in the early stages right before free agency started. And Kiwanuka and Peyton Hillis are the latest. You mentioned Rashad Jennings and Andre Williams, certainly the key cornerstones of the backfield. Michael Cox, obviously, is still here as well. They could go younger. They could very well draft another running back in the later rounds. Remember, Andre Williams was a fourth-round pick last year, and he was a Heisman Trophy candidate. And we've seen this across the league. And given the depth that we talked about on this program, John, there is a great deal of depth at that running back position. So who knows? Maybe somebody could fall to the Giants and could add an extra layer of depth to that backfield come this season.
201-939-4513. That's the telephone number. And Lance, as you move ahead now with this running back position, what do you think they can add between Jennings and Williams? To me, in my opinion, I think you could consider bringing in a player that can be that David Wilson type of explosive, make a big play at any time type of guy. I don't think you need a guy that's necessarily going to be a receiver out of the backfield. I think Rashad Jennings does that extremely well. I think he's a good pass protector. I think Andre Williams has come a long way in terms of being a pass protector. But I wouldn't mind trying to find that big play guy that can be a spark, be a change of pace back, that can get, you know, 5 to 8 carries a game and maybe help out on kickoff return, something like that, to replace that type of explosiveness that you have in David Wilson.
And even a running back who could catch balls out of the backfield too, I think would be a nice complement in addition to what they already have with Williams and Jennings. I don't think they need that lead back. And let's face it, in this league right now, it's very rare that you have an Adrian Peterson on every team where you have a guy that can carry the ball 25 to 30 times. The way that running backs are built in this day and age is the running back by committee type of structure. So the Giants right now have two-thirds, and depending on Michael Cox's health, I still think he's a player that shows some versatility. But, you know, if the Giants have seen any trend over the last few years, you can never have enough depth at every position, given what has transpired with respect to the injury bug. So I would agree with you. I think that third-down type of compliment. On a previous show, we were looking over the free agents that are out there.
Yeah.
An Antoine Smith, a Jaquizz Rodgers, two guys that played with the Atlanta Falcons last year, that they would both fit into that type of a mold.
And both with Devontae Freeman coming on in a second year could theoretically be expendable from the Atlanta Falcons, and I'm sure they're going to try to use a lot of their resources to shore up that defense with, obviously, with the Seahawks' former defensive coordinator. Help me out with the name.
Dan Quinn,
thank you,
yeah,
as their new head coach. And so they'll probably look at the defensive side of the ball
and
try to get better there.
The offensive line, too. Matt Ryan has taken his fair share of sacks.
Remember, though, they had a lot of injuries last year
too.
I think part of them improving there will try to get healthy as well as adding guys and Jake Matthews being a year older and all that sort of stuff, too.
Yeah.
Exactly. 201-939-4513. Hopefully Kevin Ogletree will join us in a couple of minutes. Let's go to Luis De Jesus in Pennsylvania first. What's up, Luis?
Hey, how you doing? I was watching the show yesterday, and I have a question. I know everybody wants us to go offensive line on the draft.
I don't think everybody. I don't think everybody wants them to do that.
Yeah, I know. I would say Danny Shelton, if he's there, and then maybe in the later rounds. What do you think about Michigan safety Curtis Drummond?
I think Drummond would probably be a third-round pick. I mean, if you want to look there in round three, that's fine. I got to admit, I haven't gotten to all the work in on guys going to be going in the middle rounds. I have not gotten that far. I'm good probably 1 through 40 or 50. I probably haven't gotten as far as round three yet. But I think that's a guy you look at in the middle rounds. I don't think he's good enough to get picked at the 9th or overall pick in the second round. But
No. When you said third round, yeah, that's what I meant, like the third round. I wouldn't expect him to go second or first.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I think if you want to look at a safety there, you can. I do think, though, it is important, Lance, to bring in a veteran safety, whether it's re-signing Ancho Roll or bringing in a safety from elsewhere to be that leader in the secondary.
Well, and going back to Luis, and I mean to cut you off, Luis, we'll let you continue. I think it really depends on what the Giants do at that safety position in free agency, as John just alluded to. Are they going to be aggressive? Are they going to bring in other veterans? Are they going to re-sign 3 of the 4 guys that played integral roles on the team last year? Remember, they drafted Matt Burhey last season, so they have some youth there, and Cooper Taylor, depending on his health. So I think it really depends on what happens in free agency. That's going to determine perhaps what direction they go with respect to that safety spot.
Okay, and another thing is, too, what happened to Corey Washington? I mean, everybody, including myself, was on, you know, we was expecting a lot from him, and then now that, you know, Cruz is hurt, they're considering drafting a wide receiver. I mean, why not give Corey Washington an opportunity to play and actually fit into the starting role?
Well, he's going to be in the mix, Luis, to answer your question. I mean, there's no speculation that they have no plans for him. He just needs to continue to improve on special teams and become a more well-rounded player. But, I mean, as far as what you're hearing about why they're not giving Corey Washington an opportunity, he's going to be in the mix in training camp, and he'll have an opportunity to compete with what appears to be a very deep nucleus of wide receivers. You know, keep in mind, you have Beckham, you have Cruz coming back, Randall, Kevin Ogletree just re-signed. Don't forget about Marcus Harris, too, who had a tremendous preseason and then got hurt. There's a number of guys that are going to be competing for not just starting spots, but those extra layer of players who may contribute on special teams.
And Luis, remember, he went to Newberry College, a Division II program. Mm-hmm. You're not going to expect somebody come out of a Division II program and come in and help you and be a big factor right away. It's going to take time. He's still trying to improve. Right. He has the physical tools. You're going to have to be patient. And look, they'll give him a chance to compete for playing time this offseason. If he's good enough, he'll play. If he's not, he won't. Do not take too much out of preseason exhibition games. They're often smoke and not fire.
Yeah, no, that's why I think he should like at least get a little more time with starters in preseason.
No, but Luis, well, you're right, Luis, and I think he will get some time in preseason, but he's got to earn it in practice. Look, I've talked to a number of NFL players about this. I've asked them time and time again. And remember, fans don't see practice. We don't see practice. We're not allowed in there during team portion of practice in the regular season. We're allowed in there in training camp. Players that cannot perform on the practice field don't just go out there on game day and play well. If you're a good player, you're going to play well on practice, then you're going to play well on game day. If you stink in practice, you're not going to all of a sudden flip a switch and be a great game day player. It doesn't work that way.
See, this is not John Schmelk's Rec Basketball League, where he takes it easy during the course of the week and then suits up on the weekends. It's different.
20-point win last night, by the way.
Congratulations. We're so proud of you. Luis, appreciate the phone call.
Thanks
so much,
Luis,
for weighing in.
We played five guys.
Five guys,
we only
wow.
had five, yeah. A bunch
what
of
happened?
Guys bailed.
Listen, if you need a ringer... You know, I'm just saying.
A ringer.
A ringer. That's all I'm saying. You know, you got five guys. You need a six. You need a six man, a seventh guy.
Actually, you know what? I probably could use it as a sixth guy last night because
contractual negotiations are always open.
Because one of our fellow Giants employees, Chris Robertson, plays on the team. He joined this year.
Wait a minute. You let him join and I didn't get
he
an invitation?
He asked. You never asked me to join
this
the team.
Unbelievable. Wow.
You never actually asked
Boy,
me to join.
We may have to save this
if
for
you want to join up,
banter.
I'm very happy to have you be on the team if you want to play.
Well, I didn't know this. Is this with my fellow colleague Howie Carpin, or is he retired?
Howie has retired for now.
What about his son? Is he still on the team?
Danny's on the
team,
yeah.
Okay, so see, I have connections.
Yeah, you do. Anyway, so Robertson broke his foot the first game of the season.
Oh, so that's
back
how
in
the
December.
Injury
occurred. Yeah.
You see, that was kind of fuzzy when I asked him how he injured. Now, all of a sudden, the details are coming.
So, this was his first game back, and he had to go all the way because we only had five guys. He struggled, but he got through it. It was 1-20.
All right.
201-939-4513. Let's go back to our very busy telephone lines and say, what's up to Mike in Pennsylvania coming up next? Mike, what's going on, buddy?
Good afternoon, guys. How are you today?
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Good. I would just like to start out by saying thank you to Kiwi for his years of service as a New York Giant, because I feel without guys like him, you don't win championships. Without guys like Kevin Booth on the line, you don't win championships. I mean, that guy did everything that was asked of him every time it was asked of him.
Absolutely.
And he adjusted to it as well as he possibly can. You know, he was an ultimate team guy, and I just want to thank him very much.
Hey, Mike, you're 100% right.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying I'm saying 100% right, Mike. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to get your opinion on something. I hear a lot of talk. Last year, we were all brainwashed. Everybody just knew the Giants were going to take a tight end with their pick, and it never happened. Last year, towards the end of the year, now some people might argue that the caliber of opponents that we beat weren't of the greatest of the world. I really started to see some things with our offense last year take flight.
Agreed.
And when Odell Beckham Jr. came along, I mean, he is amazing, and he is the playmaker that a lot of teams could only hope they had. What is your thoughts on when Jerry Reese said that the Giants will pick the best player available in the draft, of drafting another offensive weapon to give to Eli? Because I really think that even though Eli is far along in his career, man, with the way our offense took off last year, if you could surround Eli with weapons, like legitimate weapons, like, I really think that the Giants can build an offensive team that would be tough to contend with if they could get their line situation straightened out, like maybe through free agency. Because I think if we can get a running game to take the pressure off of Eli and possibly get him another wide receiver if one falls to us, I think the Giants, you'd be hard-pressed to stop them at all.
Hey, well, Mike, I got a question for you. Do you have any interest in preventing other teams from scoring points next year?
Yeah, but then, yes, and I see where you're going with that. But then I also think back to the old St. Louis Rams days, you know, the greatest show on turf, where if you can put together a decent enough offense, you can outscore a lot of people.
Well, but they also had a pretty good defense. Let's not overlook
and
that.
And they had Marshall Faulk.
Yeah. And they had two of the all-time greatest wide receivers in NFL history.
Two Hall of Famers.
Yes, in Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt. So,
potential Hall of Famers.
That. Correct.
Well, you still, you know, you said that the draft is very deep and on defensive line. You know, you still can draft in the second round, you know,
but
a decent lineman.
Look, Mike, I hear what you're saying, but this is how I will put it to you. Excuse me. Last year, if you were to pinpoint the reasons the Giants lost a lot of games, what would they be?
Well, they couldn't stop the run, for one.
And they couldn't run the football, right?
Yeah, right.
So how do you fix those two issues?
Well, yeah, I guess you'd have to – yeah, I see what you're saying. You have to shore up your defensive line.
And you got to shore up your offensive line. You got it, 100%. And look, I would love to run out there and have Odell Beckham, Victor Cruz, and the next, and throw Amari Cooper in there. That'd be great. You'll score 40 points a game. But guess what? If you have that many receivers and you're throwing it 45 times and you have an offensive line issues, what happens? Your quarterback has the potential of getting killed. And then all of a sudden, you can't stop anybody on defense and you're in a bunch of shootouts all the time. Plus, you're playing in the Meadowlands, an outdoor stadium that's going to be in the cold in December and January. Do you really want to be throwing the ball 40, 50 times a game and relying on that when you can be dealing with such bad weather later in the season? I think there are a lot of issues when you commit yourself to that type of attack.
Yeah, see, now you went and blew up my wishful thinking.
It's all right, Mike.
I figured, hey, I got the whole way through the draft and the offseason to talk about every position. It was just wishful thinking.
Absolutely. Hey, Mike, it's all good, man. We welcome all opinions. Thanks, my friend.
That's what the offseason's all about, Mike. Appreciate the phone call. You know, the other thing to take into consideration last year, when they did draft Odell Beckham, ultimately, not only was he the best player available, but there was also a need. Hakeem Nicks had left. So, you know, I think you killed two birds with one stone. This coming season, while, you know, people would argue Victor Cruz's health is a question mark, perhaps there's a big need at wide receiver. Once again, as I just laid out earlier in the program, I think there's a number of other complementary wide receivers who, if they bring back or get back to full health, are really going to round out this depth chart. And if Randall continues to build off his strong finish late last season, you know, that's hopefully another reliable piece. But, you know, the Marcus Harrises of the world, the Preston Parkers, the Kevin Ogletrees, I think there's going to be a nice group of competition here entering training camp, maybe in comparison to what we've seen in the last few years.
Absolutely. You mentioned Parker. You mentioned Sue Harris. You mentioned Corey Washington. And I think you can bring in a veteran in free agency. By the way, a guy that I was interested in last year got released by the Cardinals, Ted Ginn. He's back on the free agent market. So if you're looking for a guy to help on special teams and as a receiver, you know, remember they tried to bring in Holiday last year to fill that role and it didn't work out. He got hurt. So now you hope you can maybe do that this season. And maybe Ted Ginn's a guy you take another look at if you decide he's a guy that can bring in. But, you know, you can always, you know, there's a Jason Avant, a big possession type of receiver out there. There are some veterans out there that you can bring in that you don't have to pay a lot that can be that safety valve behind Victor Cruz. But I just – and here's my thing, and I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. You already invested – and I've said this a million times. I'm sure people are tired of me saying it. You've already invested a first-round pick in Odell Beckham Jr. You invested a second-round pick in Reuben Randle, and you paid Victor Cruz $50 million. Now you're going to go invest another first-round pick in another wide receiver? I mean, you only have so many assets and so much salary cap space and draft picks to go around in the NFL. If you're committing too much to one position, it weakens you elsewhere, and I think that can be hard to make up, Lance, if you put too many eggs into one positional basket.
Well, and the goal for the Giants this offseason is to become a more well-balanced team.
Right.
As we were just talking about, the struggles were, you know, mostly on defense late last season, but if they can beef that group up, now you have a little bit more balance, and therefore maybe you want to use more of your resources on defense as opposed to offense, which you just laid out. They've already invested a lot of draft picks and money. So I think the goal this offseason is, you know, let's get a team where you've got three facets and you have equal contributions from everywhere.
And weren't your final six games of the year last year good enough offensively? Wasn't it good
enough?
Tremendous
promise. Yeah, a lot of upside out of that group.
And that was without Rashad Jennings on the field.
And without Victor Cruz, too.
And without
Let's
Victor
not forget
Cruz.
About that.
And who knows what Cruz is going to do next year, but you're right. Even if you get a 70% Victor Cruz, that's still better than what you had last year behind, you know, I'd still rather have a 70% Victor Cruz than Preston Parker. And look, that's no knock at Preston Parker. Victor Cruz is just a very good player.
You look at the points they put up, and granted, people are going to make the argument, well, take into consideration the opponent. But with that being said, 36 points against the Tennessee Titans, 24
Heck, even go back
the
to the Cowboy game, Lance.
Cowboys game, too, where they scored 28. And then even Jacksonville, but Jacksonville was more of a very weird type of game in terms of the scoring.
The offense turned it over too
Correct.
Much in that game.
St. Louis, 37, and even in the loss to Philadelphia, 26.
And the Rams are a top defensive team. Look, you can argue about the other team's defensive prowess. I get that. They're not top defensive teams in the league. But the Rams play defense, and you put up 37 points on them. So I don't think – and look, I was the one that sat here, folks, and argued with you last year and said I wanted a weapon on offense last year. I wanted Beckham or Ebron, someone like that in the first round. That's what I wanted. But now it's time to work inside out on both sides of the ball. You got to get better up front. And that's all John Mara, Jerry Reese, and Tom Coughlin talked about after the season. You have to win the battle in the trenches, something they did not do very often last year.
As you mentioned, they mentioned that time and time again in their postseason pressers, and that's been the identity of this franchise. We talk about it all the time, and for those of you fans who have followed this team for decades, the Giants are always known about the battles up front, whether it be the offensive line or the defensive line, and that's where the Giants want to get back in the mix. And bringing back Spags was one step in that direction, and I think depending on the moves they make in the offseason will be just the perfect complement to the coaching staff that's in place. But, you know, the teams that consistently get to the postseason and do damage, you look at the New Englands of the world, you look at the Seattles of the world, consistency in terms of the trenches, and that's where the Giants want to be next season.
Let's go back to the phones, Lance. Try to get through. We have a full bank of calls. Let's go to Matt in Ocean Township next. Matt, what's going on?
Is it possible Devin McCourty can come to the Giants?
Well, rumor has it the Patriots are going to franchise him, which would make it very difficult, Matt.
Oh.
And I think, Matt, you also need to take into consideration, even if he does get onto the market, he's going to demand a great deal of money. And as we discussed, the Giants have a number of different positions that they certainly want to target this offseason.
Sounds like Matt hung up there. Matt, thanks for the call. A lot of background noise. Not sure if he was at a party, maybe a crowded vehicle of some kind.
Anything's possible. We've heard, listen, people have been on the trains when they've been listening and watching this program. They've been walking down the street on power walks with Paul Dottino. And we have an eclectic group of people.
Well, and this guy's, I'm not sure if he's hanging out in his backyard today with the weather we've been having, but Len in Maryland has had many birds are chirping during his phone calls before. Len, what's going on, pal?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing well, Len.
Yeah, not quite ready for birds yet. There's still a lot of snow on the ground here, but I'm thinking positive. Maybe birds in a couple of weeks.
No, let's do it, please. I'm tired of this weather already.
Listen, Lance, I heard you talking about Rodgers and Smith from Atlanta as possibilities. I like Rodgers, but I think Smith is over 30. I mean, I don't.
Is he?
I don't know. It's six. I don't know. It's 6 and 9. Whether we can go. Yeah, I don't know. You might want to check me on that. You certainly don't have to do it right now, but
no, I got it.
Somehow I think he's I think he's over 30.
You know what? Antoine Smith will turn 30 in September. You're 100% right. I didn't realize he was that up in age, Len. Good call. I didn't realize he was 29.
Yeah. However, with that being said, Len, if you look at his stats and how many carries he's had over the course of his career, it does not add up to the equivalent of a 30-year-old NFL running back.
That's a good point.
He's had one carry in 2010, 5 in 2013, 23 in 2014, and his receptions are even more limited. So I think you got to look at more the numbers than the age.
Okay, I would agree with that normally, but you know we got to stay disciplined, Lance. We're 6 and 9. You know, I don't think we want to spend money on guys over 30 years old. Right? But okay, listen. Also, a thank you to Kiwi. You know, terrific player for us, real team guy. I just enjoyed watching the guy play. And I guess what struck me the most is I started looking a little bit at, you know, what he did for us. And he played 9 years. Am I
correct.
Right on
yes,
that?
Yes, 9 years with the Giants.
9 years with the Giants. I don't think we realize how hard it is to get to 10 years in the NFL.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it very rarely do we see anybody get that far. But thanks again to Kiwi. I heard a little bit of your conversation yesterday, John, with Anita, and I probably hit the right part for the point that I want to make. You were talking to her about the offensive line and the guys you'd like to see there. Scherff from Iowa, I think, was at the top of your list, and. You know, Anita asked the key question, a great question to you, which was, a guard, can you draft a guard that high? And you said, and it was almost like an afterthought, she didn't follow up on it, but I think you said to her, why not? You know?
Well, here's the thing, Len.
If that's the best player, why not?
I mean, you can see the type of effect a really great player at any position can have on your team. I mean, Chance Warmack was drafted around 9 a couple years ago in that year's draft. You know, Zach Martin was drafted 15 last year. Look at the impact he had on the Cowboys' offensive line. If you get there, even if he's a guard, and look, Scherff is a guy that played left tackle in college. He's a guy that can play right tackle, too. So if you need him there, you can put him there. All right? So if he's there and if you think he's the best guy with the way this team has struggled at times this year, the last 2 years on the line, no question about it. I don't care if he's a guard. I pick him.
Listen, if Jerry's thinking best player available, I got my fingers crossed. I'm closing my eyes. I'm praying it's an offensive lineman. I just think there's no question. Particularly, we're not really sure of the Schwartz injury situation. I want to think positive about it, but, I mean, we really don't know. It's just there's going to be 5 or 6 really good players there at that 9th pick. And, maybe Scherff goes at 8. I'm hoping it's maybe Shelton who goes at 8 and Scherff is there. And I'm high on Collins. I want either one of those two guys. I want a guard. I want a big, mean, tough guy. You know, I want a power lifter. You know, a guy who's going to move people off that line of scrimmage. And I think both Collins and Scherff fit into that category. So I'm just hoping it's a guard. I mean, I see a guard as a weapon for Eli as well. I mean, you know, I know we always think about the skill players, you know, the guys on the outside like Beckham, but hey, listen, let's you've heard me say this for 3 or 4 years now. We got to protect that asset. And we got to give him things to work with. And we got him Beckham last year. Let's just go inside out. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I just want it to be an offensive lineman. And if I had to lean to somebody again, I'd say Scherff for Collins.
Thank you, Len.
Scherff for Collins. Yes, thank you.
Appreciate it. Hey, look, remember, either Scherff or Collins, they were both tackles in college. So they can go out there and play right tackle if you want to. And then the Giants have the choice. Do you want to move Pugh inside? Do you want to leave him at tackle? It provides even more position flexibility. Then you got 3 guys, theoretically. Pugh, whoever you draft, and Jeff Schwartz that can go out there, play right tackle, or play guard.
That you can move from side to side.
And that's very, very valuable to have. There's absolutely no question about it. I want to bring up one other thing real quick because we didn't mention his name before and we should have. Let's not forget Orleans Darkwa, too. He's a guy that came here for the Giants, and they actually were very impressed with how quickly he took to the system. So maybe they think he can be that type of scat back and play that type of role for them next year at the running backs position.
Also, they liked his production on special teams, too. So you need that type of versatility, especially when you get to the back end of the depth chart when it's a guy that may not get a lot of carries per game. He has to make most of his contributions out on special teams.
You know, Lance, the thing about it, too, and, you know, he mentioned that spot at 9, and he talked about offensive line. You know, even if you want to go defensive line there, considering the depth of the draft, I'm a little concerned, quite frankly, about getting a guy to play that defensive end spot. I think Danny Shelton will be a fine defensive tackle if he's there. I'm not sure if he's going to be the big, 340-pound mobile guy out of Washington to play defensive tackle. But of these outside linebacking / defensive end pass rushers, I think there's a lot of questions outside of Dante Fowler, which one of these guys can play 4-3 defensive end. Fowler can. I think Alvin Dupree can. But Shane Ray, to me, at 245 pounds, is probably a little bit small. Vic Beasley came in, bulked up at the combine, was great in all the drills. But again, He's 240-something pounds. I'm not sure if you can take the pounding a defensive end at 240 pounds. I'm not sure you can hold up by doing that. Randy Gregory, another guy that came in, he weighed in under 240 pounds. So those are three of those top pass rushers in this draft, and I'm not sure any of those guys can hold up at the point of attack. And at nine, you don't want to wind up with somebody that you can't play on first and second down. You want a three-down player. So I think it's a big thing for the Giants scouting department to figure out. And again, I'm just going based on height, weight. The Giants scouts will do a much more thorough, much more complete evaluation of these guys. You need to figure out which of these outside rushers can also stop the run and play 4-3 defensive end and aren't that 3-4 prototypical stand-up pass rusher.
Well, it gets back to the conversation we had earlier in the program, John. You know, maybe it's appealing to take a guy who fits in the middle of two profiles, as you were just alluding to, who may not be the prototypical defensive end, maybe is a tweener, more of a linebacker, and then he could utilize them at both positions. I understand you want a guy in the first round who fits into a specific profile, who you can use on first and second down and will be able to be a starter day one, but given the situation and the versatility of some of the defensive linemen and how Spags used personnel in the past, you know, maybe somebody who you just threw out, like a Shane Ray, a Vic Beasley, who can maybe be used at multiple positions, would be obviously the ideal fit. You know, you look at the Leonard Williams and the Dante Fowlers of the world, those are the creme de la creme when we're talking about the defensive ends, the guys who could get to the quarterback. Will they fall at nine? If you look at the projections, it's hard to believe that. But we've seen weird things happen in this draft. So who knows? Teams move up. They trade. Keep this in mind. Depending on who goes with the number one pick, whether it be Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota, if there's chatter, the Eagles could move up. So if the Eagles move up, then a team that wasn't projected to take a quarterback perhaps takes a quarterback, and then a defensive lineman falls. So you got to be careful with what you see out of these mock drafts, because I have a feeling we're going to see some movement with trades, as we do every single
Absolutely. Year. And guys are going to move up and down the boards, and we'll see where they wind up. 201-939-4513. We'll do some Twitter today as well. And I had one tweet that just came in, actually, that caught my eye from Eddie Booten. Can either Taylor or Burhe, that's Cooper Taylor, not Burhe, play free safety? They both seem more in the box free strong safety mold. What are some options in free agency or drafted free safety? And I think that's one of the issues with the Giants' needed safety this year, Lance. The safety class in the draft is pretty weak. After Landon Collins, who's, again, more of a box safety in my opinion, you're not going to get another safety taken until the second half of the second round, maybe not even round three. So it's not the deepest draft safety draft. And then in free agency, if Devin McCourty gets franchised, you can make the argument Roll's the next best safety in the free agency class. So there aren't a ton of options out there at safety for the Giants to find that veteran to come in and be that guy out there to organize the defense and make some plays in center field.
Well, I think that the Giants, and we discussed this earlier, you know, the need of a veteran presence, whether it be Antro Roll or somebody else, just to complement and balance out some of the youth that they have on this team, whether it be a Burhe or a Taylor. And, you know, look at last year, John. Some safeties went in the first round. Ha-ha Clinton Dix with the Green Bay Packers.
And he had a pretty good rookie year.
He had a pretty good rookie year, but then again also had his fair share of ups and downs. I remember that first game of the season. I understand that's only a microcosm. It's not necessarily an indication of what happened throughout the entirety of the season. But, you know, he had his fair shares of ups and downs with Seattle, missed assignments and so forth. It's a learning curve for any rookie. So even if you draft a safety, to expect that safety to necessarily have the same impact as a veteran who is familiar with the system or who's been around the block, you know, that may not be as realistic as most people think. I think that you'd like a great mix. And what the Giants had this past season, they had the veterans, they had the young guys, and I think that they would at least try to mimic that moving forward this season.
Another tweet from our boy Saraceno. He got retweeted, by the way, by Antro Roll a couple times the other day. I'm sure that made his day. A lot of these edge rushers haven't played with their hand in the dirt ever. It's a transition. Look at DeMontre Moore, and that's the point I'm trying to make. You have to just figure out which one of these guys that stood up and rushed in college can do it at the pro level. Now, some of these guys on third down in college did put their hand in the dirt, and they did rush, depending on who you're talking about. But a lot of these guys did stand up. And again, that size at defensive end, you know, what's the reason we haven't seen DeMontre Moore get on the field the last couple of years? What does Perry Field always say? He's got to get stronger. He's got to get better against the run.
Yeah.
You're picking ninth overall here. You don't want to run into that same situation. And obviously, you're going to get a more talented player at nine that you get in the third round. That's just the nature of the business. But you want to make sure you get a guy that can help you in all facets, I think. And again, the Giant Scouts are some of the best in the business, and they will figure out which guy fits that profile. Let's go back to the phones at 201-939-4513 and say what's up to Nugs up in Minnesota. Nugs, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's going on, you guys?
How are you, pal?
Doing well, Nugs. What you got?
I watched the combine pretty much like everybody else, you know, and took my notes, and I don't want to take the offensive lineman in the first with the first pick. I think we should go D-line. I don't want to go with the defensive ends either because, you know, what you guys just were talking about. I want to go with the dude from Washington.
Well, okay, that's fine, but what if he's gone?
Well, then if he's gone, and it depends on if Sheriff is there. I don't think Sheriff's going to be there.
He might not be. I'm not sure. 50-50, I would say,
But if he's gone, if Sheriff and Sheldon are gone, then I say we got to go with the playmaker on offense. And then I would like to see us maybe draft Shaq Thompson in the second round. I just think that the versatility aspect of, you know, we find a way to plug him in at linebacker, because I really don't want to put any eggs in the Beeson basket. I would rather see Kennard slide over and us try to fill that position. But we draft Shaq Thompson, and then, in my opinion, he becomes like, we love to play those like three safety packages. So he becomes, it just depends on which play we call. You know what I mean? He's a linebacker, or he's the third safety. You know what I mean? In free agency, I really don't want to give JPP $15 million if he doesn't come to a long term agreement. I really don't want to see him playing and taking up $15 million off of our salary cap. I think that our number one issue, like you just said, was stopping the run. Okay, I think that hypothetically, now just go with me here. Mm-hmm. Hypothetically, if Sheldon is there and we get Sheldon, now we got Sheldon playing next to Hankins. Now I've been up here in Minnesota. I've seen this before when the Vikings had the two Williamses, Kevin and Pat, right next to each other, and it made whoever you put on the edge that much better, because one of those guys is always taking a double team, the other guy is mauling his man one on one, and you're pretty much guaranteed that one of your edge rushers is always gonna see. You know, they couldn't slide the line either way because they had to pinch the line for those two dudes. You know what I mean? And I think our number one thing is our offense is gonna put up numbers. Victor Cruz comes back 80%. I'm fine with that, with Victor Cruz plus Odell and whoever else, Randall or whatever, right? Our offense is going to put up points. Our defense has to prevent shootouts. You know what I mean? So what I'm saying is the number one thing teams did to us was they gassed us with the run. They gassed us with the run. We go find a middle linebacker in free agency because the spread offense in college has made it where you're not going to get middle linebackers like the NFL needs anymore, because the defenses in college don't even defend the same way anymore. So you're getting all these hybrid type guys or whichever, which is cool if you need outside linebackers. But a true middle linebacker, I don't think Beeson's going to be there. We go find somebody in free agency. Boom. We put another hog in front of him with Sheldon. Now we've got our run. Now we got our run defense right there, forcing teams to pass, which means our secondary gets that much better. And when they're healthy too, you know, we're going to have one of the best secondaries in the league. Now, what's Roe going to do? Is Roe going to try to break the bank? You know, I can't really answer these questions, but I think I don't want to see us break the bank for Roe or for JPP. I was listening to Anita yesterday, and she was like talking about, well, you know, she likes John Beeson. She thinks, oh, he brings a leadership quality that, you know, you can't put a number on. Well, your best ability is availability, and you can't just be a leader in the classroom and be a leader on the sidelines. If you're not taking that field, then your leadership qualities are negated because you're not that out there on the field leading your troops. You're leading from the sideline.
Well, no, because money is always something that has to be weighed with any player, regardless of their value on the field or off the field. You always need to weigh the finances that are working into that player's contract. Because like you said, you want to have some flexibility. And remember in the postseason pressers, you know, John Mara and Jerry Reese both said with respect to JPP and Antro Roll, we want both players back at the right price. So they have emphasized the fact that money is a key indicator in terms of the futures of those two players with the team. I think that's always been a priority for
thank you,
team,
Nugs.
As it is with everybody else. And Nugs, thank you. What else? Real quick.
I just got one more quick question.
Really fast, yeah. Nugs.
See, the dude, there's this dude named Ali Marpet. He was a D3 guy.
At a Hobart, yeah.
He benched more than Sheriff. He ran. He was the fastest, most athletic lineman in the combine.
Uh-huh.
I think he'll fall to like the third or the fourth round. We can get him. He's a project. We can slide him in at guard. I don't think that. I think if I'm just saying, in my opinion, if both Sheldon and Scherf are there at nine, I would rather take Scherf and then go try to find the offensive lineman later on.
You mean Sheldon?
You mean Sheldon
in the draft?
All right, Nugs. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the call. And look, I mean, you can't call a guy a project and then say you're going to plug him right in a guard. If he's a project, you're not going to plug him right in a guard. You can't have it both ways.
Well, plus, remember, they had taken Eric Herman in the seventh round, and he was considered a guy that had some upside. He'd pancake everybody in school. And obviously, it's been somewhat of a learning curve still for him to solidify a spot on the roster. You know, the other thing that's important to note, and I don't know your feelings, John, when it comes to the combine, but you know, I've had this conversation with a number of people on different outlets. It is a very small facet of the evaluation process. And you know, people get caught up on what this guy bench pressed and how fast he ran the 40 yards.
How does he play?
What did he do during the course of his college career? How about that? So don't get so caught up with all the numbers that were put up in the span of a very small sample size.
We aren't drafting decathletes. We're drafting football players. All right, we got three callers. I'll take some Twitter questions as well. 201-939-4513. George in New York is up next. George, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing well, George. What's up?
Nothing. I was just, you know, people keep talking about the draft and talking about that. In my opinion, I feel like we need an offensive line. Now, if we don't get an offensive lineman, you know, I don't think we need a defensive line. I don't think we need a defensive player, I mean, because on the line. Only because I feel like there's so many players in free agency this year as a pass rusher. If I'm not correct, I think Ruben Randle's in a contract year.
How about a run defender,
though? What do Giants always do? In that part of the draft, they always get a player that in that position, you know.
Yeah, but you don't necessarily need a pass rusher. How about a run defender on defense? This team was one of the worst teams defending against the run last year. You need to get better defending against the run.
No, I hear that, and I was also reading the other day. You know, who was it? O.C. Manure. He was talking about he wants to finish his career as a Giant.
And he can't defend against the run either.
No. Yeah, but that's true. But how many players in the Giants leave the Giants and then they come back and they revive their career a little bit? You know, they come in a situation where we need them and they actually play their heart out. And, you know, maybe a year or so and then they leave. You know, we pay them. We don't pay them that much money, but we pay them enough so they could, you know.
Well, I think it really comes down to what type of a role OC envisions in the latter stages of his career, the money, and what the Giants' needs are. Remember, free agency is going to dictate the direction they go in the draft, as you just alluded to. And what you were touching on, correct me if I'm wrong, George, is the fact that when the Giants have players on the roster who are entering the final year of their contract, they do a good job of bringing in through the draft a player that can then essentially take their spot. For example, Barry Colfield leaves, they draft Linval Joseph. Linval Joseph leaves, they had Jonathan Hankins in the wing. So I think at the defensive tackle spot, there's been a nice trend there. Elsewhere, I think the Giants have used a variety of different paths to fill the void. So, you know, you alluded to Ruben Randle. They have some depth at wide receiver. Could that be a reason they want to draft another wide receiver this season? Who knows? If they go after a wide receiver in free agency, that's obviously going to change the outlook for the draft as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I'm saying if Schaffler is not there, I don't see Sean Ray. I don't know. Something's telling me. Maybe it's my gut feeling. I want to win now. You know what I mean? And I don't see he's
that
guy.
Well, I think everybody in this organization wants to win now, George. I don't think anybody would disagree with that sentence.
That's very true.
I'm just saying that I feel like Cooper or maybe Parker, those receivers, if we do draft them and they come in that, you know, if we take that pick, I feel like they will come in and maybe they'll give us a little more Eli would just have the weapons that he'll need. You know what I mean? Washington is not there yet. Who's to say that Parker and Cooper, if we do take them, they are there yet to that elite level. They got that it factor. You know what I mean?
All right, George.
All right, appreciate the call, George. Thank you.
John, I'm still surprised, and I'm not just pinpointing the last caller. Not a lot of optimism I'm hearing in terms of the offensive continuity on this team. And a lot of people are saying that Eli still needs more weapons. I think that, listen, there's always room for improvement, but there was enough upside that was showcased over the last stretch of games that if guys come back to full health, plus what some of the nucleus did without the fully healthy players, I think Eli's got a ton of weaponry around him. And I would think that the focus would be, you know, to balance that out on defense this offseason.
I would agree 100%. I mean, I don't think there's absolutely any doubt about it, Lance. I think when you take a look at this roster, even the last six games of last year, look, the offense had been better, sure, but I don't think the offense struggled because of the lack of weapons. I think they struggled because of, at times, a lack of protection. It got better towards the end of the year. An inability to run the football. When Eli had time, they moved the ball. I mean, Odell Beckham's a monster. You don't know what Victor Cruz is going to give you, but you figure he's going to give you something next year. And Ruben Randle came on the last couple games. Look, guys, we're not saying don't improve the position. Middle-round draft pick, you know, free agency, that's fine. But I just, it's hard for me to reconcile in my head. And let me put it this way, guys. How would I put it this way to you? How are you going to pay both Odell Beckham and whoever you then picking the ninth pick this year in 4 years? How are you going to keep both guys?
Rookie contracts will expire at the same time.
I mean, if Beckham keeps going on this trajectory, he's going to get a $100 million contract. He's going to be Calvin Johnson. All right? Then what do you do when your second first-round pick comes up? Oh, by the way, what happens if Victor Cruz is still around?
Well, but here's the thing, though, John. Can you really think from that perspective? Look at Seattle. You know, the Seahawks have drafted a lot of big players, and sure, a lot of them have come up at the same time. I don't know. I think maybe you can't think too much down the road. If you've got a great playmaker, I think you need to take advantage of that opportunity, hit it while the iron's hot.
Hey, look, and if the Giants pick a nine and they decide that Amari Cooper or Kevin White or whomever it is, you know, so much ahead of whomever else is on their board, then you know what? They probably should make that pick. But I don't think that's going to be the situation, considering all the talent there is on the defensive side of the ball in this draft. I have a hard time thinking that's going to be the case.
Especially at areas where the Giants want to build depth in.
All right, let's go back to the calls. We got 4 minutes. We got two phone calls, 201-939-4513. Adam in Atlanta, what's up?
Adam, you there?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Doing well, Adam.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you
hear? I hear you loud and clear. What's on your mind?
How you doing?
What's on your mind, Adam?
I have a comment. I just wanted to say that I don't think the Giants are going to trade Cooper. If he drops on, I don't think Jerry Reese will pick him. What I think is, you know, you remember when Jerry Reese said if a good receiver there at number nine, he'll take him? Well, that he put that out there to all the teams in the NFL because I think he just wanted to let them know that the Giants are a threat to take him if he. But I think he just said that to let the teams know that so that if they want to trade, that actually take a trade with another team to just to put that out there that he will be a receiver if he's there. So another team will be threatened by that, try to put the Giants in, you know, try to get another draft pick or something like
that. Absolutely.
Well,
look, the Giants are never going to box themselves into the corner and say we're not going to pick a guy at a certain position no matter what. No one's ever going to do that.
You don't want to lay it out for your fellow competitors. Hey, by the way, we're only going offensive line at nine, so then obviously the 10th team has a better idea maybe where they want to go.
Right. Well, they just put it out there. I mean, they got to let the teams know, you know, that they will take a receiver, but I don't think they really want to give a. If I'm just saying, if Cooper falls, because I think Oakland is actually going to take him. So I think there's a possibility Cooper actually falls to the Giants, but I don't think realistically they will take him because of what you guys have been talking about all day. So I think that they are setting themselves up for a possible trade if somebody to, you know, trade with them. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's never a bad thing. If a player who falls to the Giants spot and there's another team out there that aggressively wants that, the Giants, like any other team, would listen to offers and perhaps they could stockpile other draft picks. But, you know, then again, that speculation,
thanks
every
for the call.
GM will tell you that happens every single season. They get plenty of phone calls,
absolutely,
I'm sure, leading up to the draft.
Final call of the show is Rolando in Queens. Rolando, what's going on?
What's going on? Hey, John. How you doing, John? How you doing, Lance?
Doing well, Lando. How's everything there?
Good, bro. Just listening in, and I just kind of want to roll it back a little bit. I want to go free agent, and I just want to be able to address our needs. And the name that I threw once before, I'm going to throw back out there, Cedric Thornton from Philadelphia. I think he's a real good run stopper that we can get on the slightly on the cheap side. And the same thing with Dan Williams. And one other name that I like to throw out there is the defensive tackle Oatridge. I hope I'm saying his name right, from Miami. And there's two names in terms of safeties that I like to throw out there that I think we should consider.
Okay.
And that's Gerard Johnson, the safety from Seattle. He's the third safety behind those two beasts back there. Mm-hmm. And Raheem Moore. And I missed the beginning part of the show, so I wanted to know, did you mention that Schwartz got his pin taken out yesterday?
No, we did not discuss that.
Oh, okay. Now we can kind of include him in the fact that he might be ready for the beginning of the season. When I heard you guys in the combine, I was getting concerned when I kept hearing him, you know, still in his boot. You know, I don't know whether he liked the fashion statement. I don't know.
Keep in mind, it's February 25th, though. You know, I mean, you got a long way to go if you're that concerned.
There are literally a month and a half before these guys even show up to lift weights.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes we got to look at it this way for the fact that if we're looking free agent and we're looking draft, we also have to look at the possibility of guys that we think that are going to be there that are not there. Like that guy Avery, they haven't scheduled him even to do rehab yet. And that's like a concern, going towards what John is saying in terms of the defensive end. And when we drafted JPP, you know, we talk about that we had Chalk and OC. We also had Kim and Luca. We had three defensive end there, and we still got a defensive end. And in terms of the first round, I agree with Johnny Boy in terms of Fowler and Dupree. But now John's going to go crazy on me. I won't have a problem of drafting White if my medical team is telling me that Victor Cruz is not going to come back next year. Randall's going to be a free agent, and I might not be able to sign him for the fact that there seemed to be a little rift between him and Coughlin, and we're seeing it on game day. What's happening behind closed doors? Speculation, but anyway, that's a sample size. But in terms of if we don't get a guy like him, we're going to be talking 2 years from now, 2016, that they're double-teaming Odell Beckham, and we have nobody. And now Eli is getting killed in the backfield because we didn't project the possibility of Victor Cruz being out and Randall leaving.
But why does that have to be a first-round pick, Rolando? I don't get why it has to be the first-round pick. You can find good wide receivers not picking in the first round.
There's a lot of depth there. And keep in mind, look at what everybody in the first round did last
season. Heck, the second round, the third round.
Okay, I hear you. But you're telling me, and we're always being talking about value. So if we're talking about value, we want the most value for our nine. And talking about value at nine, even talking Cooper. Cooper was top five draft pick earlier. Now if he happens to drop at nine, that's bad. No, pick him up. Same thing with White.
Hey, look,
pick him up.
Look.
We want value. We want people to be able to play the game. The only way we're going to get better is by able to address the problem. Even when we're talking about adding another lineman on a high draft pick, I don't have a problem with it. Let's fix it. But I'm going to tell you, your guys are right. Just consider what we had last year and look what we did. We do need to address the defensive side of the ball, and that's why I started out there's a little monologue of mine with defensive players.
Monologue?
And
I think it's more of a dissertation. I don't think you're doing enough justice for it.
Thanks, Rolando.
Thanks,
appreciate
Rolando.
It, my friend.
Appreciate it.
Hey, look, and we're not saying that if the Giants get to nine and the wide receiver on the board is by far the best player, the Giants shouldn't take him. I'm talking if all things are equal, where do the Giants have the bigger need? That's what my point is. If you get there and, you know, whether it's Kevin White or Devontae Parker or Amari Cooper, and you say whichever one of those three guys is there is two levels or tiers above whoever your next best player is, yeah, you pick the wide receiver. But I don't think that's going to be the case with all these excellent defensive players. That's all I'm saying.
Well, and it gets back to the fact that everybody always throws out the cliche, John, the first-round pick, you want to be a starter day one. So let's play the hypothetical game, as some of the callers want to talk about. The Giants take a wide receiver at 9. Is that wide receiver going to have space to even start? I mean, that's my major question.
If Cruz is back.
If Cruz is back, Beckham, Randall, even some of the veterans who at least are familiar with the system, who's to say that wide receiver is going to start day one? And I understand you're preparing yourself for insurance down the road, but, you know, you have to fight that urge, I think, with the urgency, obviously, to win immediately this season. Those sometimes are two forces that work against one another. I think there's enough depth at the wide receiver position that, you know, you could get still a quality guy as an insurance player down the road, perhaps in the second round, and then maybe you bring in a player in the first round who you know has an opportunity to step in day one and is actually going to be a legitimate starter.
I actually had some good tweets here, but we got to run, folks. We're at 1 o'clock. We'll get more of your Twitter questions tomorrow, I promise you. I'll even look back at the ones from today's show, so I'll make sure I hit those and I'll reply to some of them over the course of the afternoon as well. For Lance Meadow, I'm John Schmelt. Thanks for joining us on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We'll see you next time on Giants.com.
All right, here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Jackson on the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
One of the end zone punt.
Touchdown, Giants!